brain.
Blog Talk Radio.
It's much more difficult than it needed to be. Much, much, much more than it needed to be. Oh, it's a little odd.
I'm a part of the fellowship of the unashamed. I have Holy Spirit power.
I don't know if I can be heard.
The decision has been made. I'm a disciple of his. I won't look back, let up, slow down, back away, or be still. My past redeemed, my present makes sense, my future is secure.
No more bad phone.
I'm finished and done with low living, sight walking, small planning, smooth knees, colorless dreams, tame vision, worldly talking, cheap giving, and dwarf goals. I no longer need preeminence, position, promotion, applause, or popularity. I don't have to be right first, tops, recognized, praised, regarded, or rewarded. I now live by faith, lean on his presence, walk by faith, I'm uplifted by prayer, and labor empowered.
Really have a great video.
My face is set, my greatest path, my goal is heaven, my road is narrow, my way is rough, my companions are few, my God reliable, my mission is clear. I cannot be fucked, compromised, detoured, lured away, turned back, deluded, or delayed. I will not flinch in the face of sacrifice. Hesitate in the presence of my adversary. Negotiate at the table of my enemy or ponder at the pool of popularity. I won't give up, shut up, let up until I've stayed up, bored up, prayed up, preached up for the cause of Christ. I am a disciple of Jesus. And we will find
myself. Yay! All right. Hi, Shannon. Love you. Rob, how you doing? Becca's here. Hello. Gwen Sweeney's going to be here at back pew. That's a beautiful thing. I love it. I hope you guys are having the beginnings of a wonderful trip. Nothing's wrong with Pastor Sam. I'll throw that out there right now. He's hanging out with us. That's an important thing. We kind of hinted at it last night, blog talk. Kind of took me by surprise because he usually doesn't put me on the spot like that. Yeah, he does. I'm being honest. But usually on stuff like that, he'll talk to me first. Hey, what do you got going? But this morning, I don't really remember. We decided that we would flip the sanctuary around and we would speak some word from the back pew. Dave Sweeney, how are you, sir? Good to see you. Amen. I'll put my faith with that one. Better yet to come. Aunt Pumpkin, love you too. YouTube is not up for those of you who are curious. Don't have the ability to make that happen as me. I mean, I can give you blog talk. I can give you Facebook Live. That's about all that I can do. I don't even have coffee. I've got Mountain Dew. Weird day. But just to make Sister Gwen happy, I also have some high quality H2O. back pew with some rocks. Amen. Oh, our back pew is pretty awesome. I got to say, the sarcasm is always on point. The jokes are sometimes off in the lag somewhere, but we all seem to understand that that joke was not out of order when we typed it. So. This is weird. Now I have no video, but I got a green dot. And it tells me my video is fine, and it tells me my audio is fine. Just coffee tonight. Awesome. Kelly Delkert, how are you, ma'am? Love you. It was a warm one in Tulsa today. It was, I repeat that statement because I like it in the 80s. It was 85, maybe. But it's not broccoli flavor. No, it's definitely not. I did have broccoli. It wasn't as bad as the other times I've had broccoli. Shannon thinks it was the hot sauce. I think she's probably right. But I did get it down. So I guess that's what's important. 30 years, come on. You know, and you guys are just like one of the, man, I can't speak the story because it's your story. You guys have one of the most amazing stories I've ever heard in my life. In fact, you two are just a powerful couple, and God just all the much better. So, business. Okay. I thought you were saying marriage. I'm like, well, I mean, business, that's cool too. Very, very cool. I mean, cool story as well. I can't speak that one either, but Gwen told me that one night, and I was like, that is so you guys. That is so you guys. That. Yeah, I'm going to back away because I really get into that story. That story just fires me up. It's a complete and total God thing. That was just awesome. Awesome, awesome, awesome. 35 years. Well, happy birthday to Dave's Super Service. That's awesome. Small town USA too. That is so cool. So cool. You know, I would say 35 more. You know, I will say 35 more because your sons will probably look after that. I wish you guys a retirement before that. You know, no, at least 50 or 60 happy retirement. After you step away from turning wrenches. Then Jesus, you aren't kidding. One day you've got to call in and just speak that story. Because that's just an amazing God story. I love every bit of it, you know, and you guys are just one of the coolest couples. And polar opposite. I mean... When Dave opens his mouth, guys, if you guys don't know these, he opens his mouth, you better listen because something profound is about to fall out. But Gwen, she's like intellectual meets valley girl, you know, like, oh my, like totally like, oh my word. And then she'll come out with quantum physics. It's just one of those things. My kids are smarter than to do what we did. You know? I don't know if we always hope our kids are smart to do what we did. I think we always want them to have an easier time than we did. Hey! Boss Lady's here. Howdy, Leanne. God bless you. We love you guys. I'm not awesome. You guys are awesome. And we absolutely love you, too. Hope you guys are having a wonderful time hanging out with the family. And honestly, it's a privilege and honor every time I'm able to sit in this chair and talk to you guys. So this blesses me far more, far more than you, I am sure. Kind of funny. That's how God works, right? Thinks you're blessing them, but really you're like, oh, you should see this from my chair, because the view from my chair. Thanks, Aunt Bunkin. I love you too. So I guess I was a little late because of, doesn't matter. It appears to be working now, even though I can't see it here. I can see over here that it is working. And that's really all that matters. I think I've said hello to everybody. If there's somebody I missed, because I'm relying. Quinn, sorry. I am sorry. But you would have done it to me, so I'm really not that sorry. If you could have tossed a little tidbit in front of Shannon to rip me on, you'd absolutely do it. So, but I we talked earlier, and you know exactly what I'm expecting and believing for you guys this weekend. I'm not going to make that public either, so. And what's that? Let's just go with that. But it seems like every time I try and get off Gwen, I see Dave or Gwen pop up over here. So, hey, my wife is watching again. Hi, wife. How are you? How's everything in Michigan? To a first chance I get. I'm sure you will. I don't think I've given you any ammo yet. But that doesn't necessarily mean that I haven't. It just means I didn't realize it yet. And if Shannon doesn't know about it, you didn't realize it yet either. No, isn't it just amazing? You know, Gwen and I, we didn't even know each other. We didn't meet until baptism. I mean, that's when we finally met. I'm going to speak like a Gen Xer, you know. That's when we finally met IRL, man, in real life, bro. But, isn't it just amazing? It's family. It really, really is. We have some new faces here. Tonight we're actually going to go back, and we're going to go back to something I taught on this program 6 months ago-ish. You know, I was kind of woke up this morning. All right, Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you got for me today? Am I doing the program? Am I not doing the program? What would you have me speak? And I thought I was going to go a little bit different, but he was kind of, you know, which is weird. Last night I was thinking I wanted to go back to this message. And he's like, you know, why don't you go back to that with your understanding now? And I'm like, okay, do I still have the notes? Do I still have the outline? Do I still have what I spoke then? And I looked at it, and I was like, And I think what I noticed most was, even though the understanding's been kicked up the hair, I just had to give glory, honor, and praise that it was truth. Meaning, here are 6 months later, and those notes have withstood the test of regardless of space, time. You know, Gwen can get all quantum physics-y in that if she wants to. You know, like I could say it was 80 degrees today, and that's a true statement here in Tulsa. I'm sure it was 80 at some point. But that's not necessarily a true statement. You know, so truth has to withstand the test of time and space. If it's true here, you know, truth has to be truth here. where you are. The 700 to 1,500 views we're going to see on this, you guys don't necessarily see that. I do see those numbers. It's got to be truth where they're speaking. Otherwise, it's just not worth speaking. I see the comments have went crazy. So it's a bit cool today. Bo is being a good baby. I love you too, Bella, so much. You have no idea. Or maybe you. That dew looks good. The dew is delicious, David. It really is. I love my Mountain Dew. Fear the ish. That's where it's here. You know, Gwen, I'm a lot of times the ish is where it gets really, really good. I've heard more than one person say fear the ish and then just freak the tires off of something. And it's like, they had no clue they were going there. They didn't know if they were going to speak 5 minutes, 10 minutes, an hour. But at the end of that ish, it was dropping. Did you hear what you just said? Because it was life-changing. I don't have a flag either. I don't have my microphone. I don't have speakers. This is like really old school now. Oh, you know what? That's probably why this gave me so many problems, because to get the microphone to work before, I had to disable the laptop microphone. That still doesn't explain the webcam not wanting to come up, though. That's a little odd. A little odd indeed. So the spirit is in the ish. Yeah, I think so. You know, we search for the right words in the flesh, right? And we're just searching and we're searching and we're searching. It's like, got to say this right, got to say this right, got to... And then just out of left field, here comes the spirit. Yeah, why don't you listen and speak this? And that's where the amazing things happen. And Shannon's pushing me to the pledge. She's got the flag. So we can definitely do that. After that, we'll get right into the word. This is going to be one of those fear the ish. I mean, I know what I had 6 months ago. I don't know exactly where I'm going. I know we're going to touch on what we touched on 6 months ago. There's a lot of new people that haven't heard that. And it's good every once in a while to go back and get everybody on the same page and what we're looking at. And a lot of different people out there will preach a message, you know, 6 months, maybe repeat every year or so, depending on what it is. And that's what we're going to do here tonight. But I'm fired up for it. Hopefully you are too. Do you have a 2-in-1? Mine does that. If I use the tablet, then go back to the laptop one. I don't know. It was one of those deals that was open box clearance. There's a place in the microphone. The microphone's cool. There's a place in the microphone to plug in the speaker. So I enable that as well. Otherwise, the speakers that plug into the laptop wouldn't work. Expecting to go live, so all of that stuff ended up staying at home because that was just, you know, 5 extra pounds to lug around airports. I just didn't want to do that. I probably will not make that mistake again. And, but Shannon is pushing us to the pledge. So I think I'm going to follow her lead. And we'll move off to the pledge. And see where else we go. Kind of looking forward to this. Kind of looking forward to this. I'm used to be here quite a bit, but haven't been here in a while. So with that, let's just move to the pledge. Otherwise, we'll chit-chat all night and nobody will ever hear the word. So let's move on to the pledge. So over, face the flag that Shannon, or if you have one, face that flag. Put your hand over your heart, render honor. If you're a veteran and you want to salute, by all means, do that as well. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Now we're going to have a 1 second moment of silence in honor of our fallen. This moment of silence begins now. All right. I do not have Pastor Sam, Sister Leanne's voice, so singing, I'm pretty bold, but generally it doesn't happen. I'm never going to say never, because every time I say never, I end up singing, so I'm not going to go there. But I just really want to get into the Word, I think. And I'm kind of fired up for this a little bit. Let's pray real quick. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you right now. We thank you for this time together. We thank you for our brothers and sisters in Christ. We speak all the protections of Psalm 91 for Dave and Gwen and their travels, and over Pastor Sam and Sister Leanne as they are away from home visiting their loved ones. I speak infallible proofs this weekend, Lord, over everyone within the sound of my voice, that they may see you and know you in a deeper way than they ever thought possible. Father, bless our land. Bless our country. Father, we don't know what to do in D.C. right now. It's in shambles. We just turn that all over to you. Father, we overcome right now, Father. We thank you for this day. We thank you for this time of fellowship that you've given us. We thank you for this platform that we're able to set thousands of miles away from each other, yet still be together and study your word. We thank you for all the blessings, the things that we overlook, the things that we take for granted, Lord. Point those out to us so that we always come to you with a heart filled with gratitude for all that you've provided for us. Father, bless this time we have together. Guide my tongue, that the words that fall out of my mouth are truth, and edify the body. Father, we ask all these things in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. And amen and amen. So, let's get into the Word. You want to? I want to get into the Word. Now, when I first did this, I actually got up and kind of gave an archery lesson for a little bit. I'm not going to do that today because we're going to spend a little more time in the back half, I think. Everybody knows what a bow looks like. At the time, you know, this came from a conversation. It really helped me understand the conversations that I was having and the instructions that the Lord was giving to me. And it kind of just shocked me that he took something that I learned. I don't know, I was shooting professionally 2000 to 2000-ish, I don't know. But the lessons that I learned there, he was able to take that and teach me more about him and how to walk this out. See what Dave said. Like I said before, when something falls out of Dave's mouth, you listen. Oh, come on. You just fired me right up, brother. Amen. Amen. Man. Then Jesus. I love Jesus. I really do. Now you feel the pain, Sister Leanne. We all changed the pastor at one point or another. But we all know what bows look like and arrows and targets and everything else. So I don't think I really have to stand up and give a visual demonstration. But the bow is the Bible. And the arrow is the words spoken from our mouths. Now the release, I went into great detail about this, you know, with nose breakers / floor shooters. It's a back tension release. You don't know when it's going to go off. But the release, what releases the arrow is our tongue. And stabilizers, you know, those that hunt know, you know, little stabilizers, that just stabilizes the bow. When you shoot professionally, you have big, long stabilizers. You have weight out there so that it cannot get moved. You know, my bow weighed about 10 pounds. The wind could blow as hard as it wanted to, and that bow is not going to move. Stabilizers, all right, stabilizers are a foundation versus. And what kind of stabilizers you need is going to depend on exactly what you're called to do. If you're called to a leadership position, then you need those big, long, unshakable foundation bursts. And the target is Jesus. And when I spoke this, I said, you know, when you're shooting a bow and you shoot it properly, what ends up happening is you just keep focusing and focusing and focusing and focusing on the target. And eventually, the release goes off without you doing a thing. It just happens in the subconscious. And really, that's exactly how our walk is too, right? We need to keep on Jesus. Keep focusing. Keep that focus there. Guarding our arrow, right? Don't let arrow fly. And if you feel like you're going to let something a little silly fall out of your mouth, then you just need to let it down and shut your pie hole. We'll get into more of why we should do that in a little bit. But really, we just need to keep focusing on the target. And as distractions come our way, don't turn into words. Just rebuke them right there on the spot, you know? Say, Lord, I don't know why that thought entered my mind. You know that's not who I am. You know that's not who I'm going to be. What would you have me do next? Yeah, we did, Rob. Those were some good days, man. Really were. And I think, really, you know, the title of this 6 months ago was Change Your Focus. But I think today is going to become more of a conversation and guarding our mouths and watching our words, you know. So I think the first place I'm going to break off here, clicky, clicky, to Gateway. I'm sure Pastor Sam will be speaking on that tomorrow. That is just an awesome tool. The first place I want to go is going to be Matthew. Actually, I guess I need to really go there. But in Matthew 16, you know, and this is, how do we talk to God? And in Matthew 16, 15, Jesus said, who do you say that I am? You see, guys, he wants to know who he is to us. You're our salvation. You're our beginning. And because of you, we do not have an end. You're the way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in darkness. And I think a lot of times we miss that. And Sam and I will talk to each other, start preaching to each other and ministering to each other. Gwen and I do it too. God really is looking for that type of relationship. We're not only ministering to us, but we're also ministering to him. Well, the hearts give it away that it's Sister Leanne. God bless you, Leanne. We love you too. God bless you and Pastor. But in a conversation, guys, we also need to be quiet and listen. If we're always talking, we can't hear. Now I'm actually going to go. I'm already at Bible Gateway, but I need to type a verse. And for this, we're going to go to 1 Samuel 3, 1 through 11. We spoke this verse a lot, probably in the first 8 months or so. I think that's why it's important to go back and review, right? Because we have a lot of new here that have probably heard this referenced in passing but don't know exactly where it's in. 1 Samuel 3, 1 through 11 reads, now the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord. What did we just talk about? We talked about ministering to the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no widespread revelation. How is it that we live in the New Testament, that we are spirit-filled believers, that 1 John 2, 7 says that he will teach us all things, which means there is no limit to revelation. There are only self-inflicted hindrances in our life. That's one of those ish things. I didn't know I was going to go there. So in verse 2, and it came to pass at that time, I was lying down in this place. And when his eyes had begun to grow so dim that he could not see, and before the lamp of God went out in the tabernacle of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and while Samuel was lying down, the Lord called out Samuel. And he answered, here I am. So he ran to Eli and he said, here I am, for you. And he said, I did not call you. Go lie down. And he went and lay down. Then the Lord called again, Samuel. So Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, here I am, for you called me. He answered, I did not call my son. Lie down again. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. Nor was the word of the Lord revealed to him. That's an interesting point. It's a very interesting point. And I think that's relevant. And where we're going to go later with the Great Commission, but I'm going to stop right here for a second and preach this for just a second. You know, Samuel didn't yet know the Lord. And the Lord wasn't yet revealed to him. But here God is calling out to him in that conversation. This is Old Testament. I mean, in our Testament. In New Testament, our Testament, then Jesus, we can have the relationship. And although we've never heard before, he's calling out to us. Verse 8, and the Lord called Samuel again the third time. So he arose to Eli and said, here I am, for you did call me. Eli perceived that the Lord had called the boy. This is a lamp in the tabernacle. For Eli said to Samuel, go lie down, and it shall be, if he calls you, you must say, speak, Lord, your servant hears. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now the Lord came, stood, and called us at the other times, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel answered, speak, for your servant hears. Then the Lord said to Samuel, behold, I will do something in Israel at which both of ears of everyone who hears it will tingle. When we are talking, we can't hear. Exactly. Exactly, Shannon. Now, I included verse 11 in here just to demonstrate that speak, Lord, your servant hears. He's going to lay something on us, whether it's a God appointment we have, whether it's answers we've been looking for. It could be anything. I mean, it could be revelation at the end of that. But just as with Samuel, it says, behold, do something in Israel at which ears of everyone who hears it will tingle. He's going to drop something on you that's just going to make you jump and shout, glory be to the Lamb of God. I'd be doing a disservice here if I didn't also at least touch on it. And I touched on this on Saturday, and I'm really not going to preach it. I had a little conversation with Gwen, and she said, you know, each one of those points you could just preach for a week. And it's absolutely true, but I just want to touch on the obedience just a little bit, just a little bit. You know, we need to be in our conversations. We need to be as obedient as Isaiah was. In Isaiah 6, Bible Gateway, help me, Bible Gateway, help me. Then Isaiah was called to be a prophet. In Isaiah 6, verse 8, says, also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will? Then I said, here am I. Send me. Well, in the beginning, we spoke these verses a lot. And I think it's important to go back to it. And we realize that, yeah, we've all taken steps. The fundamentals haven't changed. It's still, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. And here am I, send me. And if we take obedience just a step further, 2 Corinthians 1:20 says, for all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him, amen. Amen is, so be it. To the glory of God through us. You know, guys, our answer to our Father must also be yes. And even if it doesn't make sense. And because we are so grateful for what he's done for us, not only should our answers to our Father always be yes and amen, we should also look to take an extra step. To go just a little extra. And I say little because we're talking about God. It's huge. But if God tells us to cut the grass, you know, I kind of use this as an example. We also need to weed whack. We also need to edge. If God tells us to tidy up the bathroom, we should also scrub the toilet, right? I don't know if any of you guys have ever been corrected in the sanctuary. I have. Just based off of this, it's that little bit of obedience, going a little bit, you know, somebody left a coffee cup and I was walking out and it was just going to leave that there in my house. No, sir. No, sir. I'm not. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. And these conversations, you know, I've already spoke. You know, Jesus asked the disciples, who do you say I am? We should also ask our Father, who are we to you? Because just as he wants to hear from us, he also wants to tell us who we are. He wants to reveal the plans he has for us. That's Jeremiah 20:11. I have that one memorized. For I know the thoughts I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace to give you a future and a hope. And in these conversations, we shouldn't. How do I speak this way? We need not add hindrances to it. If he's telling us to do something we've never done before, instead of coming out with the yeah, but I don't know how, yeah, but I've never done that before, but yeah, but I mean, seriously, we all get to that point. Yeah, but. We need to change how we speak, not only amongst ourselves, but also to God. So instead of speaking that negative into it, he knows you've never been there. Father, I've never been in this situation before. Teach me how to walk this out. Shannon and I weren't that smart when I spoke our testimony that went on over the past many, many, many months, the whole process. But by speaking bold in and over the situation and waking up each morning saying, speak, Lord, your servant hears, and following correction, he also taught us how to take the next step, how to get rid of what we weren't meant to carry so that we could go where he needed us to go. Okay, so we need to focus on encouragement, words of love, words of truth, words of life. Rebecca Smith, how are you, ma'am? Good to see you. Because harsh words can destroy. And I spoke on Elijah the first time I taught this, and I'm going to go there again. And I don't need to pull this up because it's in the original notes. Yes, Shannon, I have notes. Amen. He knows where you won't get it done perfectly before he asks you. He's built that in. He absolutely has, Gwen. And it's just amazing to me the things that happen on the back end of that. You know, where it's a touching us and taking us where we need to be, but somebody else who's watching the background that we're not even aware of is also finding freedom and deliverance and et cetera, through that. It's literally then Jesus all the way around, all the way around. So in 1 Kings, and I'm probably going to, buddy, you've heard before, unless you've heard me speak this before, because I just love the Old Testament, man. It's sometimes it's just raw, and it's just get your blood flowing. We're going to go to 1 Kings 18, 25 to 40. And this is about the prophets of Baal. Verse 25. Now Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, choose one bull for yourselves and prepare it, for you are many, and call on the name of your God, but put no fire under it. So they took the bull which was given, and they prepared it, and called on the name of Baal from morning till noon, saying, oh, hear us. But there was no voice. No one answered. Then they leaped about the altar, which they had made. Excuse me. So it was at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is meditating, or he is busy, or he is on a chair. Perhaps he is sleeping and must be awakened. I just love this. I really, really love it because Elijah's watching this, you know. You know he's just laughing. He's like, these guys have no clue. These guys have absolutely no clue. And he's just ripping them, and he's pouring salt in the wounds, right? He's like, well, maybe he's on vacation. You got to yell harder. Jump up and down. Maybe you got to do somersaults or cartwheels. Did you make an appointment? Is he expecting you? That's just how I read this. I mean, he's like, he's on him. And verse 28. So they cried aloud and cut themselves, as was their custom, with knives and lances until the blood gushed out on them. And when midday was past, they prophesied until the time of the evening sacrifice. But there was no voice. No one answered. No one paid attention. So it says Elijah was poking him a little bit, mocking him. But he wasn't done there. He was like, not only am I going to show you what your God, small g, wasn't able to accomplish, I'm going to give you a brief glimpse of how big our God is. Then Elijah said to all the people, come near him. So all the people came near to him. And he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones, the number of the tribes of the son of Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord had come, saying, Israel shall be your name. Then with the stones he built an altar of the Lord. And he made a trench around the altar large enough to hold two sheaves of seed. And he put the wood in order, cut the bull in pieces, and laid it on the wood, and said, fill four water pots with water, and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. Then he said, do it a second time. And he did it a second time. And he said, do it a third time. And he did it a third time. So the water ran all around the altar. And he also filled the trench with water. How bold is this? How bold is Elijah? It's like, your God failed. My God won't. Wet can't burn. But God. And this is at the time of a drought, guys. So he probably had to search a little while to find all this water that Elijah wanted to pour over sacrifice. Verse 36, and it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel, and I am your servant, and that I have all these things at your word. At your word. Hear me, O Lord. Hear me. That this people may know that you are the Lord God and that you have turned their hearts back to you again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust, and it licked up the water that was in the trench. Now when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, the Lord God, the Lord, he is God. Not just the sacrifice, not just the wood, the stones, the water. Verse 40. And Elijah said to them, seize the prophet of Baal, do not let one of them escape. So they seized them, and Elijah brought them to the brook and executed them there. A pretty bold cat. Do you understand what God is saying? You remind me how great our God is. Thank you, Mike. Thanks, Audrey. Okay. I really appreciate that. I really, really, really appreciate that. Yes, we serve an amazing, mighty God. Amazing, mighty God. Here's this mighty, bold cat, right? All the confidence in the world. He's got that Godfidence from the inside out. So much so, he set the impossible on the altar, knowing that there was going to be a God moment. And then if we go down a couple verses, and the first King, 18, 41 through 45, this is where the 3.5 drought gets brought to an end. Verse 41, Elijah said to Ahab, go up, eat and drink, for there is the sound of abundance of rain. So Ahab eat and drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel. Then he bowed on the ground, put his face between his knees, and said to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. So he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. And 7 times he said, go again. Then it came to pass the 7th time that he said, there is a cloud as small as a man's hand, rising out of the sea. So he said, go up, say to Ahab, prepare your chariot and go down before the rain stops you. It's going to rain so hard that he had a brief moment of opportunity to get down off. Now it happened in the meantime that the sky became black with clouds and wind, and there was heavy rain. So Ahab rode away. So guys, we're talking about a guy who on his prayer, fire came down from heaven and disintegrated everything. And then, he speaks at the droughts, and he's praying. And the guy's coming back to him, yeah, not yet. But he doesn't waver from that faith. It's in the back sometimes. 3.5-year drought ends. So it's to say Elijah had a great, 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 great chapter 18. An amazing chapter 18. But the very next chapter, verse 6, chapter 19, and we're going to start to look at words. Jezebel sent a message to him. We're not reading it. The Bible doesn't say this, but this is just how it's out in my mind, right? She writes this message, and it's like Elijah, totally not happy that you killed my prophets, dude. I'm coming for you. Hashtag you're a dead man. Hashtag I'm going to get you. Hashtag you better run. Now look at the chapter Elijah just had in chapter 18. Signs, wonders, miracles. And you would think after being part of a chapter like that, that Elijah would have replied, silly, silly, silly Jezebel, you're feeling pretty jump. God rained down fire. Hashtag ain't scared. Hashtag come at me, bro. But that's not how it played out. In 1 Kings 19:3, Elijah literally ran for his life. Now, since Jezebel's mere words could make a mighty man of God run, mighty man like Elijah, what are our words capable of? We're speaking to our brothers and sisters, and they're looking to us for advice. Our sphere. Who are either believers or haven't went down that road. What are our words capable of? In Proverbs 18:21, it says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. The power of life and death are in the power of the tongue. Let's go just a hair deeper with that. Since our tongues have the power over the beginning, which is life, and the end, which is death, also have power in all points in between. That's going to get into a spiritual authority thing, and I'm not going to go down that rabbit hole right now tonight. But having said that, our tongue has the power, life, death, beginning. Now, don't shout me down here, guys. But since life is of Christ, is not of Christ, we're like a quarterback in the huddle. Our words are going to move one side or the other. Our words are going to move the armies of the Almighty, or they're going to send the enemy into motion. You know, John 10:10 says, the thief does not come except to steal and kill and to destroy. But I have come, that they may have life, and they may have more abundantly. Think about your tongue. Think about your words. Is it setting the plan of God in motion? Are we speaking His will be on earth as it is in heaven? Or are our words moving in the other direction, where the enemy's grabbing hold of them and moving with them? You know, listen for a second. Go to Matthew 12:36. I'm gonna pull this up. Yeah. Matthew 12:36. And the English says, I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give a for every careless word they speak. It doesn't say every careless thought they had. It says every careless word. My careless word, I'm taking this to mean words that don't uplift, words that aren't filled with love, words that don't edify the body. Every careless word I'm going to have to answer for. Proverbs 13 and 3. Yeah, Proverbs 13:3. Says, he who guards his mouth preserves his life, but he who opens wide his lips shall have destruction. So again, we're seeing, guard your mouth. Don't just let your lips flop in the breeze. Think about what you're saying. Pull it back. Pull it back. Jesus. I'm familiar with this verse, but I can't quote it. Matthew 15:11. Not what goes into the mouth defiles a man, but what comes out of the mouth, this defiles a man. That's a good word right there. That's a very good word right there. We have to be cautious of everything coming out of our mouth, because it's capable of defiling us. And we're going to go to Luke 6:45 next. Sorry, Luke 6:45. I might have said 45. A good man, out of the good of his heart, brings forth good. And an evil man, the evil treasure of his heart, brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. What are we filling our hearts with, folks? Because what this is saying in Luke 45, whatever that's in our heart, whatever we have an abundance of in our heart, is exactly what the mouth's going to speak. You know, when we think about Philippians 4, verse 7, really, peace of God, which passes all understanding, guarding your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Bring your hearts and minds. And then here in Luke 6:45, what we see is, for out of the abundance of the heart is what our mouth speaks. That's a good statement, Gwen. Exactly. Would you say it in front of Jesus? Because he's in the room. Amen. Absolutely. 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 You see, guys, encouraging words, they uplift and they empower. They edify. They don't tear people down, they lift them up. Would our Father speak it to us? Absolutely not. Then we're speaking it to somebody else. And I go to Ephesians 4, verse 29. Give you a second to get there while I catch up on comments. I remember not to say anything. I wouldn't want your mom to hear. Amen to that, baby. Amen to that. Ephesians 4, verse 29 says, no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary education, that it may impart grace to the hearers, receiving what you don't deserve. Mercy, not getting what you do deserve, that it may impart. See, our words should impart to the hearers what they don't yet deserve. Notice I said, yeah. We need to speak to people not as we see them, not as the world sees them. But we need to speak to them from the potential that God sees in them. Look at Saul of Tarsus, man. He martyred Stephen. Had a past like you wouldn't believe. But what did God see in him? God saw the man who was going to write most of the New Testament. So forget where he's at right now. Soon enough, he's going to be a new creation. That Saul will have passed away. That Mike will have passed away. That Gwen will have passed away. That Shannon will have passed away. That Sam, that Leanne, Rebecca, that Rob will have passed away. Just speak what the Father said. Look at Ephesians 4:29. And our words need to be soaked with love. Notice I said soaked. Not just a little bit, not just a little dash. This is going, my comments are going nuts over here. So always try to speak a kind uplifting word to someone who may need it, because you never know what kind of impact you will make in their lives. Amen. Amen. Amen, Rob. The beautiful thing here is not to pass away. So you need to start speaking to yourself. Not to pass away. I am fluent in sarcasm. I have a smart mouth that should have got me in way more trouble than it ever did. Looks like one's preaching. Come on. Yes. Yes. That's a good statement. So, back to words soaked with love. Not just a little dash. To be soaked. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 13. And I think I'm going to go to the same verses I went on Saturday. That's going to be 1 through 7. Jan Punkin, strive and believe in the person you want. Not the person anymore. Come on! Stop. That's it, man. Smart mouths get the most mercy. Amen. You guys are just rocking this thing. All right, I'm going to get to this verse now. You guys are just firing me up, and I'm just sitting here not saying anything. I'm looking at these verses going, go, go, go. Look at you guys preach to each other. Man. 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 7. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. and know I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and know I have all faith so that I can remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And I bestow all my goods to feed the poor. And though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rude, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Soaked in love. Throughout that set of verses, you know, it says, without love, it's nothing. Without love, it's nothing. Without love, it's nothing. You know, okay. We all know a brother or holier than thou. Some of us probably know the same one. Nobody here. Just say that right now. And no matter what they say, we don't receive it. And it's because the words are not to uplift us. They are not soaked in love, but they're soaked in self-righteousness. Therefore, they just sound like that clashing cymbal. Doesn't matter how much truth is in the word they're trying to give to us, because it's drenched in their own self-righteousness, we'll never receive it. Flip that around. They have a great grasp on the word. It's not so much understanding. But flip that around where it's soaked in love. The dynamic completely changes. And you're not running from that person. You're running to that person going, I wonder what word they got soaked in love for me today. That's who we need to be. You know, and Matthew 5:13, I'm not going to read it, but it says we are the salt of the earth. And encouraging words like salt, they make people thirsty. You know, it's kind of like reverse fishing. A kind word is going to momentarily drop somebody's defenses. And they're going to open up for a moment. You know, they're not just going to give you that, I'm fine, everything's good. It's not going to be that generic response. It'll be an opportunity for you to hug on them and love on them and help them. No. Most of us wouldn't walk past the hungry man on the corner. But because of our words, the spiritually bankrupt kind of just slipped through the cracks. You know, just a couple moments of our time, just a couple moments. And that can start the chain reaction that provides not just a momentary solution to their circumstance, but the eternal solution. No, I think by realizing this isn't what we do, this is who we are. We don't punch in and out on this. Jesus didn't punch in and out on us. So we don't punch in and out on him. This is who we are. This isn't what we do. And by realizing that and starting to, we're going to speak life. We're going to speak love. We're going to speak truth. Our life literally becomes an intercessory prayer to all those around us. without even realizing. Begin to see it's important. As Jesus said, he only does what he sees the Father do. We begin to see and speak. See and speak. Because remember that double-edged sword of Proverbs 18:21, the power of life and death. But we're not going to be the quarterback for the other team. We're going to speak that life. We're already seeing and speaking the kingdom answer. We're speaking the will of God. And I think I'm going to catch up on comments for a second because this has just been going crazy. Oh, that's awesome, Audrey. Exactly, Rob. You guys are preaching in the front and in the back and in the middle. I'm digging what you guys are doing over here. We need to think about what we're called to do, folks. And I'm not just talking leadership positions in the fivefold. I'm not talking about that because we all have a calling. Whether there's another call in your life or not, that's between you and your pastor and God. But the word says we all have a call in our life. We're ministers of reconciliation. We're ambassadors of Christ. Now, foundation verses. Kind of already spoke to 2 Corinthians 5:17. Behold, all things have passed away. All things have been made new. But in 18 through 20, 2 Corinthians 18 through 20, I heard a beep in the back, says, now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself, to Jesus Christ, and has given us, you, that's me, the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling himself to the world, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. We're ministers of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Our ambassadors through Christ. I've spoke this a few different ways. And I think at the very root of this, we have to think, what's an ambassador? It's one who presents. And oftentimes speaks on behalf of. If we are ambassadors for Christ, who are we representing? Who are we speaking for? Do we really want to let that garbage fall out of our mouth? Not another day, Lord. Not another day. Not another day. Not another day. Now, there's some negative connotations with certain denominations, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And fundamentally, it boils down to not walking out their calling, which is an ambassador for Christ. So what, you know, that encompasses so much. I mean, we can look at Romans 8:1, there is no condemnation. No condemnation. And we start to speak to life. And we start to speak the God potential in them. But trying to beat them with a stick, think it's Christ-like? Do we really think it's Christ-like? To pick up a bat and finish beating them down? Absolutely not. How about we lift them up? That's what our Father did to us. I mean, some of y'all, I know part of your past. Some of y'all know part of mine. I mean, from where I was to where God took me, didn't you want to give that to somebody else? The Great Commission. Speaking of what we're called to do, and I just can't seem to not go live or go live and not speak the Great Commission, because it's just, and this is everybody. It's Matthew 28:18-20. It says, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go therefore. Us, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen and amen and amen and amen and amen. Been given the ministry of reconciliation. We are ambassadors for Christ. But it doesn't stop there. And you guys, some of you in your conversations, yes, maybe you are called to more. Maybe you're not. And that's okay. But in our spirit, we're all to go therefore and make disciples of us. We do that. Who fills the church? Who fills the church? Didn't know there was going to be a test, did you? Who fills the church? Ain't the pastor. It's us. We fill the church. There's not new membership going into the church. Church dies. It's our job and our sphere. Go there. Make disciples of all nations. Bring them into the church so that they can get fed. I mean, it's the pastor's job to shepherd them and yada, yada, yada. We can even go down the road. Your convert is your responsibility. It's your job to disciple. So as the pastor is preaching something hard and straight and they get offended, you can kind of take them under your wing and go, don't be honest what this means. I was there too. There's no condemnation. Beautiful thing is that part even passed away. It's our job. It's our job to fill the church. If we're not bringing people to the church can't survive. Did I speak that well enough? Do I need to go over anything else? That's the only places I'm told to go. If I need to hit something from a different angle, then by all means, throw something in the comments. And we'll tee it up and see if we can't hit it a little bit better for you. Really, 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 folks. Really, really, really. Yeah, but you have to have my back, Shannon. Till death do us part. For better or worse, even if this is worse for preaching. We who follow also should be able to lead those who are lost to follow the righteousness. Amen. Amen. And I guess I have one more point. I made this in the first teaching, and I forgot about it. It's not in the notes. And Spirit just reminded me of it. Because a lot of us are like, well, I don't know if I can minister to people. I don't know if I can do that. I don't know. And again, you're speaking those negative confessions, so let's not do that. But let's just say that my story was good enough to bring me to God. Gwen's story was good enough to bring her. Shannon's story was good enough to bring her. Rob's story was good enough to bring him. Rebecca's story was good enough to bring her. Audrey's story was good. Our story. The very same story that brought us to God. It will bring others. We'll feed them until they have their own God encounter. Until they have their own experience that they will use to bring others. And with that, I think that's all I got today. Except for communion, because, you know, God communion. You'd be the first one to tell me. But I don't know, honey. You are generous sometimes. Yeah. It happens, Audrey. And generally things like that happen. Ooh, I've got a verse, but I can't put my finger on it. Let me Bible help this. See if I can find it. Let me see if I can Bible help this and find it. Maybe. How awesome is it that we live in an era, you know, that we can kind of. That's not what I was looking for. I'm probably not going to. No. I won't say I'm not going to find it. Find it without sitting here and looking stupid for a long time. But generally when that happens, Audrey, it's because you have brother, sister, busybody, and a little bit of gossip here and a little bit of gossip there, and there's not a whole lot of truth in it. But that just creates an uproar. And as I told before, whose team are you quarterbacking? You actually end up planting that spirit of division in the church where a section's going to break off. It's not a good thing. Well, some of us need to be bold. Sometimes that's hard. It is. It is hard. Or it can be. But the meek and mild, 2 Corinthians 5:17, I can pass away. It will come to me in the middle of the night. I know. I know. I know. It's like I only have two words and they're not next to each other. So as I jump in the Bible club, I just use one of the words and I come up with hundreds of verses. But I think for now, we are going to go to New Covenant worship. We're going to have communion. And hang out. Wow. I'm pretty nice to you guys. We're getting out of here a little early. Pastor Sam's not going to invite me back anymore. So, we are going to 1 Corinthians 11, 23 through 28 and verse 31.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, I pull up everything else on Bible Gateway. Something about communion. I just got to read that out of my Bible. I don't know why. I like to see the red letters. I like to see. I don't know. It's not what you're used to, I guess. For I received from the Lord that which I delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take ye, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this remembrance of me." In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread, this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." Verse 28, "But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup." Verse 31, "For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged." First John 4:17-18. "Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love." So let me see if I can comment. I don't see comments, but can I comment? "It's easy, we don't need God. It's hard. Taking that step forward will be rewarded. Not taking the step will be forgiven. Swagger develops through those steps. Faith to faith, glory to glory. Father has been our faithful, has been faithful and rewarding my peace since last year." Amen. I think that was Sister Gwen instead of Pastor Sam. In my studies, it's kind of, how do I want to say this? I might use an app to search what I'm looking for, but then I jump to the Bible. But then in this format teaching, I want to say it was Brother Harry Mize. You know, he was just rapid firing verses. And he said, "Well, you guys are probably wondering why I don't thumb through my Bible." He goes, "Well, by the time I get there, then I got to wait for you to get there. And then I speak that, and then I go to the next one. And I got to do it again, and I got to do it again. He goes, and then in an hour, y'all are looking at me like it's time to leave. I'm 4 verses in of a 15-verse sermon. He said, so I just speak it and keep going, speak it, keep going, speak it, keep going. You know, assuming people, if they wanted to jot down notes, just write it down. But yeah, I absolutely agree. I like to see it in my Bible. I like to highlight. I like to make notes. But in this instance, for speed, I just like to jump on Bible Gateway. Pause. If I have fear, I'm not full of God, right? Pause for just a second. Second Timothy, chapter 1, verse 7. What the word says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. Now, I'm not speaking this from anything except personal experience. I've known fear in this world. I've known doubt. Now, in 1 Timothy 1:7, there is a freedom from that. For God hasn't given it to us, therefore, it's not of God. We have a spirit of power, of love, and of a sound mind. 2 Timothy 1:7, huh? Shannon, I think that's something we need to dive in deeper with your pastor or message us, Audrey. Well, I'm not going to say that you're not full of God. I'm absolutely not going to say that. What I am going to say is what the word says. And it's God has not given it to us. So since God has not given it to us, take it away. I've noticed things that you just bring fear inside of me. Like, I don't know if I can do this. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. You know, Jesus. Now I'm going back into teaching. One moment. I'm going to speak this and then I'm going to back away from it completely. It's going to be. John 10, 37-38. If I do not do the works of my Father, do not believe me. But if I do, though you do not believe me, believe the works, that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. And what I found is, while I didn't have the faith, while I had that fear, I was seeing works. And I was able to believe the works. And as I started getting those glimpses of God, my fear level dwindled. And I think another important one to stand on, and this one, Audrey, is Philippians 4:8. And Philippians 4:8 says, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, there is any virtue. And if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Don't meditate on what you're afraid of. Keep the attitude of gratitude. Where you're going, God, you moved in this area, you moved in this area. Thank you for this, thank you for that. And you will see as we stand in Philippians 4, you will see that everything else, it has no choice but to learn. So with that, we're going to move in to the prayer of salvation. It's about what I'm being told to speak. There is Philippians 4:8. Now, can I comment? W.DanielJ. See the comment. Oh, there it is. So, if you want our communion tradition here, you can find it on the website, www.samueljcottle.com/communion. And I am also a prayer that I generally use, or a variant of, and I will also copy and paste over here, so that we see what this looks like. God bless you. God bless you. All right. That post, that did. This is weird. I can Shannon pop up, Shannon pop up, Shannon pop up, Shannon pop up, Shannon pop up. Oh, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. One moment. All right. Honor, he is worthy and can do nothing but what is right and good. He loves us enough to prove it to us. Samuel called 3 times, it's the same exact description. Amen. Amen, Gwen. Amen. I'm sorry. Amen, Gwen. This is prayer of salvation. I'll say it a couple words at a time. You can repeat after me. Lord, I cannot do this without you. Set my mind, my will, my emotions, flesh. I put who I am and my future in your hands. My finances, my relationships, my time, my hopes, my dreams, I cast into your hands, Lord. I have sinned I have fallen short. Teach me to walk with you. Wash me in your blood. Make me whole. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen and amen. Ooh, the website changed. Probably should have looked at that before. Let's bless these elements. Father, we bless these elements that we've set aside for their intended purpose of communion with you. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Let's pray over the bread. You were wounded for my transgressions. You were bruised for my iniquity. The chastisement for my peace is on you, Lord, and by your stripes I am healed. In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body, in my mind, in my will, and in my emotions, nothing missing, nothing broken, every joint supplying in my body, from your body, in the body of Christ in my community, and around the world, wherever you send me this prayer, I receive this breath, your body broken, in Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen and amen. Let's receive the bread together. Lift up the cup of blessing. By the blood of Jesus, I have been redeemed. By the blood of Jesus, I have reconciliation with my Father. By the blood of Jesus, every sin has been placed in remission in my life. I am a new creation, recreated in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away, and all things are made new. By the blood of Jesus, every plague must pass over and cannot be on me or my family. By blood of Jesus, I have bold access to the throne room of grace. I find grace, mercy, and help for my assignment, my dominion mandate on this earth. By the blood of Jesus and the word of my testimony, I overcome. By the blood of Jesus, the accuser of the brethren is cast down, and there is no condemnation in my life. By the blood of Jesus, my conscience is purged My robes are made white, and I will always be the glorious church without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish. When you come for me, I receive the Jews in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen and amen. Let's receive the Jews together. That was a lot of juice. I like a lot of juice. Well, that's all we've got for tonight, folks. Anybody else got anything? I don't think I've missed anything. If I'm missing a count anywhere. Love you too, honey. Well, since that's what we got, I call all y'all blessed in Jesus' mighty name. And as we always say, thanks. God bless you, ma'am. We're moving from glory to glory. And when we walk with God every day, it's not fear as much as in the process. God, thank you much. Amen. Amen. Saturday Night Live will be how to study your Bible. Yep. Pastor Sam will get you the ins and outs of all the wonderful tools that are out there. DownloadEsau.net. Good night, Becca. All right, guys. That's what we got. We love you. Jesus loves you. Well, we love you. God loves you. And Jesus is Lord. Jesus also loves you. Been a minute since I've been live, guys. It's amazing how quick. Thank you everyone for helping me. Have you, Pastor, do you see all the preaching happening in the background? That was an amazing thing. I'm like, wow, these guys are preaching to each other. That's great. I'm in the new girls cross. You know what, Audrey? We are all in a growth process. I don't care if you've walked this walk 75 years. If you were where you were at the same point you were even a month ago, you need to have that conversation with God and say, what am I missing? What am I not walking out right? Teach me. We're all in the growth process. Every last one of us. And the best thing about this is just kind of get to step back and go, what are you going to do with us next, Father? That was absolutely amazing. What do you got for us next? Well, that, I bid y'all good night. Love you guys. And Pastor Sam will be here tomorrow night to teach us the ins and outs of all the study tools that are out there. And he said download esword.net. He posted that in the comments as well. So, good night. God bless you guys. We will see you tomorrow at noon prayer. Love you guys. Good night.